or business jargon has a way of working itself into the everyday language of our culture. Therefore, it's no surprise that the expression thinking outside the box has long been a well-known catchphrase in everyday conversation, which means that innovative new ideas may still be labeled as an outside-the-box phenomena, and people get all sorts of praise for thinking beyond the expected norm. And that's a really good thing, because we need visionary people, and we need new ideas to stimulate creativity and to challenge our cultural norms. Thinking outside the box, however, is sometimes a less welcome concept in our lives of faith. With our religious beliefs, we typically want security, comfort, and familiarity. We tend to seek the well-known paths that lead us to God. And that may be because the culture changes so quickly, and often in ways that don't seem to be for the better. And so our response is to tuck our faith into a nice, safe box and treasure the continuity and the security that it provides. And that's understandable, because things in a box are easy to control. They're safe and secure, plus they're easily defined and simple to manage. So stuff in a box is very non-threatening. And no matter what happens, we know that that stuff isn't going to go anywhere. After all, what's the most popular saying in the church? We've always done it that way, right? And that's just like saying, don't touch that box. I like that box just the way it is. The challenge, however, is that Jesus was totally an outside-the-box kind of person. Jesus took preconceived notions, deeply ingrained prejudices, and long-held religious beliefs, and he ripped them out of their tightly held boxes and did a virtual tap dance on the contents. He constantly did and said the unexpected, shocking his listeners and infuriating the religious leaders of the day, because Jesus was not a person who ever accepted the status quo. And today's gospel is a classic illustration of this fact, as Jesus challenged his listeners to reconsider their closely held beliefs and then to confront their own spiritual blindness. So, the story unfolds on the Sabbath, a day strictly regulated in terms of what Jews were allowed to do, which was pretty much nothing, as no work at all was to be done on this official day of rest. When Jesus and the disciples came upon a blind man, his followers asked him, "Who sinned that this man was born blind?" Because in that culture, sin and illness were considered to be related, and personal sin was seen as the cause of suffering. But Jesus totally rejected that belief. So not only did he overturn their notions of sin, but he also proceeded to work on the Sabbath, and that he made some mud and gave the blind man his sight. Now we read this story and we recognize that it is extraordinary. But for the people in that time and place, this was an astonishing development. Good Jews simply did not break the Sabbath, and teachers such as Jesus did not challenge the accepted wisdom of the day. As a result, carefully held, long-term beliefs were simply shattered as Jesus acted way outside the box. And we can almost imagine those bits and pieces of those shattered convictions, just like bits and pieces of cardboard, raining down upon their astonished faces. Then the story develops in an almost comical way as everyone tries to figure out what had happened to the blind man. "Is this the one?" they asked. Well, it looks like them, but we're not sure, they said. Then the Pharisees got in on the act and questioned the man and his parents by asking, come on, is he really blind? What happened? Who did this? And when the answers they received were unsatisfactory, they simply pronounced that Jesus and the blind man were sinners, because any other explanation was just not within their realm of possibility. But the important thing to understand is that the Pharisees were not bad people. They were the respected religious leaders of the time, and they took their job very seriously. Problems arose, however, when they became so entrenched in what they believed, in what they thought had to be true, that they couldn't think outside the box. So there the light of Christ was shining in their midst. A miracle had occurred right in the middle of their community, but they were unwilling and unable to see God working in such a new and exciting way. So rather than opening up to see the world in a different way, and realizing that God was doing new and wondrous things among them, these dedicated and learned religious leaders clung so tightly to their convictions that it was as if they had actually crawled into that box and duct taped it shut. They wanted nothing to do with it. And as a result, they became more and more spiritually blind, cut off from the saving reality of Jesus Christ, because it was just too threatening to believe that God could work in a way different from what they expected. So how sad it is to think that their preconceived notions of how God was to behave led them into such a state of self-righteous error. However, before we follow our natural inclination and smugly think, well, I'm so glad I'm not a Pharisee, right? Yeah, that's what we're thinking. We need to think again. For we all have spiritual blind spots, and we all have preconceived notions of God that we have safely tucked away into our own theological box. And I'll tell you, that box could be very attractive. It could be shiny gold. It could be very nice. But it's still a box. Or it could be your basic, ordinary shipping box. Just a box. Not threatening, but it's still a box. Or we could have God in a teeny tiny little box. Little box. God can only be certain things, and that's it. Or we could even have it tucked away in a nice big box. We could have a box as big as a refrigerator, but you know what? It's still a box. We still have God wrapped up in our own notion of how God should be. And then we could have the Pharisee special. A little box all wrapped up in duct tape. Safe and secure so no one can get in. We all have one. And regardless of its size or its shape, we all have one. So when God does challenge us, or surprise us, or tries to change the way we've always done things, and then if we find ourselves feeling anxious, or upset, or crabby, as we try to hold tightly to our own notions and our own attitudes, well, then it might be the time to let go and look for the light of Christ in our midst. When we're feeling anxious, it might be the time to let go of what we expect from God and try to listen to what God expects from us. And when we feel threatened, it might truly be the time when we need to think outside of the box. Because you know what? We don't belong in a box, and neither does God. So then, we need to open those boxes and let the light of Christ shine in. And you know, we just might see the world or see other people in new ways, with new eyes. Then we might just catch sight of Jesus in new and unexpected places. And then we might find freedom in those little bits of cardboard raining down upon us as Jesus then leads us out of our boxes and takes us to where we need to go. Amen.
Amen.